your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Maybe folding money would be better. We're not going to give you $250 in pennies.
That's good.
You know, or quarters or dimes or anything like that.
I mean, I would take it, though, if you gave it
sure,
to me.
Sure, yeah, right. Roll it up and, you know, take it over to the bank. And, you know, I think they still do this. Like, the kids go in there with their big jars of coins, you know, and, hey, can you count this for me? And they have the big, do you ever do that? Take your loose change.
I never did, no.
Take it in there to the.
No, I would had no problem buying baseball cards with coins, so.
Okay, right. Yeah. So, you just. Didn't have to worry about that.
So I didn't keep coins around a long time.
Okay.
I would go buy cards with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If you have something to share from the weekend, good or bad, you can on the 8 Sporting Center chat line. This was not good. To be honest with you, I don't really know this team very well at all, or frankly at all, or this coach very well at all, or frankly at all. But what happened to him? He's an NBA coach. His name is Chris Finch. He coaches the Minnesota Timberwolves. I do know this guy, Mike Conley. He's one of their guards. Remember him? He played at Arizona way back in the day. So it's late in the game, and Conley collides on the bench with Chris Finch, who didn't see him coming, I guess, or couldn't get out of the way as Conley tried to brace their fall. But he has a ruptured patella tendon as a result of that collision, the head coach. And so they had to take him back into the training room, and one of the assistants finished up the last minute and 41. The Timberwolves did beat Phoenix 122-116 to sweep that first round series and go on to the second round for the first time since 2004. But my goodness, that's... it's quite a collision. Mm-hmm. A ruptured patellar tendon. It's got to sting a little bit, I would think. Good news for the Rangers over the weekend. They win their series with the Cincinnati Reds after winning yesterday. I thought there for a minute they were attempting a comeback in their game on Saturday night. They made it a little exciting. The final doesn't give you that indication that it was, but it was 8-4, and they had some runners on the base pass, but just couldn't get the key hit. But how about the home run for the inside the Parker?
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Those are always a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, you don't see very many of those with the grass fields. You have to kind of hit it, and I realize the Rangers have a. They have the artificial turf, but it's not like it was.
You feel like the turf or the grass affects it more than the ballpark?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I just remember back in the day when it would, you know, kind of skip along and then get to the wall and then just like a cue ball roll around the outfield fence and get away from. You don't see that as much, but that's kind of how they used to be more than anything else.
I think it's more about angles in a ballpark.
You're probably right about that.
Than it is about the field surface.
Yeah, sometimes they just kind of, they used to kind of skip. And those surfaces now are much different than what they used to be. You know, with they're a little softer and they're a little bit better. But the Rangers win 4-3 yesterday, and they're now 15-14 on the season. We will have the Rangers. In progress, maybe tomorrow. Maybe we'll get a little bit of that. The Red Raiders and the Rio Grande Valley, the Gauchos, I think that's what they call them.
Vaqueros?
Vaqueros, okay. Vaqueros, Gauchos, you know. Feel free to intermingle that. Maybe try to change their nickname during the broadcast tomorrow. Astros were actual winners yesterday, 8-2. I've declared
actual winners.
I've declared their season over. I do not think they'll make the playoffs.
You're okay if they keep playing, though, right?
Yeah, they'll keep playing. They're 9-19.
You are not going too far out on a branch at this point.
No, I'm not.
I don't feel
but
it.
I've declared their season.
I think
over.
You're leaning up against a tree. Okay. I don't even think you've not even climbed up one level of the tree.
Okay.
So I think it's a pretty fair guess.
Okay. It's over.
I still think they have plenty of time, but it's not looking great.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think I declared that on Friday. I think I said that.
Oh, well, it was Friday then? Okay.
Friday's when I think I made that declaration.
So he declares it Friday, and they go undefeated.
You're allowed to improve, right?
That's what the Astros are saying, yes.
Yeah. We're allowed to get better.
Okay, now I'm totally pulling for the Astros.
That's what I've done to you. Huh? I've forced you into that. Yeah. So,
yeah. I was never rooting against him.
Looks like the Cowboys are going to sign Zeke Elliott. Maybe they'll be smarter this time and not give him as much money. But that's what they're expected to do.
I don't think it's a terrible signing. I mean, you get him at the right price and. Mm-hmm. Him be a second back and share time with somebody. I mean, I think he's good, short yarded situations and all that good stuff. So I don't think it's a terrible move.
This is what Stephen Jones had to say. Zeke, as we all know, is one of our favorites. Well, sure, you gave him a lot of money, Stephen. He said this as well.
He also had some really good years at the beginning there, you know, like before they gave him the huge contract.
Yeah.
But you would understand why people like him.
And even take away the first couple of years, he wasn't a bad back. He just wasn't worth what they were paying him.
Yeah.
And that was it was never a problem with Zeke on the field. It was a problem with Zeke's contract.
Steven,
well, there was that whole problem with Zeke off the field when they first got
him. Right. Well, that's what we're talking about on the field.
Yeah.
Steven went on to say, he's the ultimate competitor, and we obviously think a lot of him. It was good to run into him. We just had a little beer and moved on. Okay. All right, Steven. Oh, goodness. Well, he's rushed for almost 9,000 yards and 71 touchdowns and a little over 2,000 carries for the Cowboys. Also caught 305 passes for 2,336 yards and 12 touchdowns. So they do need somebody to run the football. And apparently Zeke's going to be the guy that's going to do it for you.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Here on The Morning Drive, time for This Day in Sports History. Today is April the 29th, 2024. Here is Jeff McGuire.
You're going to start us off at 1931. With Cleveland Indians pitcher Wes Farrell no-hitting the St. Louis Browns 9-0 at League Park 2 in Cleveland. 1961, big day for Chuck Hines. ABC's Wide World of Sports debuts for the first time.
Wow. I mean, that was...
That's a good day.
That was a lot, all that we had, you know, in February and... You know, early March. I mean, there wasn't weekly college or daily college basketball on those days. You'd have to wait for Wide World of Sports.
1981, Philadelphia Phillies Steve Carlton is the first lefty to strike out 3,000 batters. 1986, NFL Draft, number one pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Your guy,
Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Vincent.
Who then decides, screw you guys, I'm playing baseball. And why? Because they messed up his college baseball career at Auburn.
They did. He became ineligible because of them.
1997, Kansas City Royals, Chili Davis is the 75th player to hit 300 career home runs.
Chili Davis. Best known as the San Francisco Giant.
What's Chili's real name?
Chili? I've only ever heard him called Chili Davis.
Me too. I'm with you on that.
That is
here you go. I've got
know.
It for you. Charles Theodore Chili Davis.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
The Bows and the Chippers of the world. We know their real names, but we never knew Chili's.
He played for the Giants for 6 years, the California Angels, the Minnesota Twins, Kansas City Royals, New York Yankees, and had a coaching career.
It came down to the final two quarters of the match, but the number 7 Texas Tech women's tennis team claimed a 4-2 victory over number 24 Texas to advance to the Big 12 championship match for the second straight year. And in 2019, the number 15 Texas Tech Red Raider baseball team plated 4 runs in the bottom of the 7th to rally for a 5-2 win and a series sweep of number 16 Oklahoma State. Sophomore Dylan Noisy launched a 3-run home run in the 7th to put Tech ahead 4-2. It is National Shrimp Scampi Day.
Are you in on that?
Not really. It's the one I don't like.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Willie Nelson, 91. Uma Thurman, 54. Jerry Seinfeld, 70. Michelle Pfeiffer, 66. Jay Cutler, 41. Andre Agassi, 54. And Ron Washington is 72 today.
Okay.
72 a funny year?
No, just thinking of him. Just thinking of Ron Washington.
Your favorite crackhead.
It's the way baseball go.
And on this day in 1789, 3 weeks into a journey from Tahiti to the West Indies, the HMS Bounty is seized in a mutiny led by Fletcher Christian, the master mate. Captain William Bligh and 18 of his loyal supporters were set adrift in a small open boat, and the Bounty set sail for south of Tahiti. Bligh, who eventually would fall prey to a total of 3 mutinies in his career, was an oppressive commander and insulted those underneath him. That is this day in sports history.
All right. It's now time for our lucky local winning word today. This is at 6:49 promptly. Double T97.3 in the Home Zone, making your house a home, have teamed up to give away a total of $10,000 to lucky local listeners. To get registered, all you have to do is go to TT973.com and listen to us each morning during the weekdays at this time, 8:45 and 4:45, for the local winning word. Then go to TT973.com and enter that word for your chance to win weekly cash every Tuesday and Thursday. So do it today. You might win tomorrow. The more times you enter, the more chances you have to win. This is not a national contest. It's a local one. So the money will be given away to local listeners, and we just ask that you spend it right here. Not with us, but you can spend it around town. It's your favorite locale. Okay. So all you have to do is enter a lucky local winning word like this one for Monday, April the 29th, Rebels. Rebels at 6:45. Rebels. R-E-B-E-L-S. Rebels. Not really a fan of the Rebels, are we? Any kind of Rebels. Okay. That's your lucky local winning word, brought to you by Double T97.3 and the Home Zone. Meanwhile, thinking about the Agony to Defeat guy, he was not on the very first Wide World of Sports. Vinko Botega, but he's from Yugoslavia.
Nailed it.
Yeah. This particular failed jump occurred on the 7th day of March, 1970. And after he had retired, he didn't realize his celebrity. And so he was asked to attend, and he was surprised that he was asked to attend the 20th anniversary of Wide World of Sports in 1981. He received the loudest ovation of any athlete introduced at the gala, and attendees such as Muhammad Ali asked him for his autograph.
And he said, "What? That's on the open of the show?
I didn't.
Where is my NIL money?
He didn't.
I want my NIL money. Take that off of Wide World of Sports unless I get my NIL money."
Yeah. He wanted his NIL money, right? He probably deserved quite a bit of it, but he never got it.
Otherwise, I'm hitting the portal and transferring to the CBS version of Large World of Sports.
Large World of Sports.
But remember, Jamie doesn't care.
I don't. I mean, I'm happy if he gets his NIL money.
Yeah.
Dude's a celebrity.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali has his autograph.
Yeah. I think my favorite tidbit about that is ABC has changed all the highlights in the open of that, except the agony of defeat. Mm-hmm. And every time they think about changing it, they're like, it doesn't fit.
Yeah. ABC still has something called the Wide World of Sports running?
It's when they were doing it, they were looking at, they changed every highlight in it except that one.
I don't know when the last time Wide World of Sports aired. Thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Yeah. See that we get this from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Man, that poor guy was a celebrity for a crash and burn. He certainly was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. He certainly was. 6:53 this morning here on the morning drive. And you know, that's when you, to me, when I think of Wide World of Sports, I think of two things. I think of that guy, and I think of the Harlem Globetrotters, and then followed closely by Evel Knievel. It seemed like those three things were always a staple of Wide World of Sports. Then you'd have some kind of, you know, offset thing that took place that they just happened to get highlights of. And again, you know, in those days, there wasn't ESPN or, you know, Fox Sports or anything along those lines that would give you, you know, 24 hours of coverage of sports. Maybe that was a better time. I don't know. Certainly, it ended in 1997, Wide World of Sports did. Okay. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is 6:54 this morning here on the morning drive. Oh, we get this late entry into the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Listening to the morning drive at Lake Tom Steed near Snyder, Oklahoma. Caught my biggest fish ever yesterday, 5 pounds, 7 ounces. Woohoo! Good for you. That's awesome. 5 pounds, 7 ounces. That's a big fish. Well,
that's very large. It'll feed you for a while.
That should have made Wide World of Sports. That would be the thrill of victory. And then the agony of defeat is if it slipped off the hook as you were getting ready to take the picture with it. Oh, missed it. Missed it by that much. We'll talk some draft next.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thank you for being with us today on Lubbock Sports Station. Double T 97.3 at 9. It'll be the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score. And we'll also have Dan Patrick here on Double T 97.3. Coming up tonight at 6 on 100.7 The Score. High School Fan Zone. Coaches from Coronado, Estacado, Lubbock High, and Monterey will come in and visit about their respective teams and sports. So that'll be from 6 until 7:30. From 6 to 7 here on Double T 97.3, it'll be Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock. Okay. I was going to tell you, I met a Morning Drive listener yesterday, Jimmy, mm-hmm. During the meet and greet portion of church, which is really one of my favorite times because I get to, you know, get to shake hands and talk to people, you know, get to kind of kibitz a little bit. And she said, "Well, I know your voice." I'm like, "Oh," I said, "Well, I'm sorry." She's like, "No, no, no." So it was because usually when I meet the spouse and her husband wasn't with her this particular day, I usually apologize because it's usually like the guy kind of forcing the morning drive down somebody's throat, you know. And sometimes that's not always so pleasant, but in this particular case, it turned out to be pleasant.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. So just, you know, I hadn't given you an update here lately on people that I had met out and about.
What was this person's name?
I believe Linda, but I'm...
I believe Linda. That's a long first name. I believe.
You know, sometimes my... this will come as no shock to you, Jamie. Sometimes my listening skills are beneath me. You know, and I'm more worried about the next thing I'm going to say as opposed to listening carefully, which I need to be better at that. You would think that, you know, I'd reach a certain point in time and age where I would be more skilled at that, but that's, I'm still efforting. Mm-hmm. Still, we can get better. I can get better. I don't know. I'm trying. Although sometimes it appears that I'm regressing in that endeavor. All right. So Red Raiders selected in the draft over the weekend. They had two. Dadrian Taylor Demerson goes in the fourth round to the Arizona Cardinals. So you would think he would have a shot, pretty good shot to make the team. I don't know what the depth chart. I don't know what the depth chart looks like for them. But I mean, it's not like they had the best, you know, season, Arizona Cardinals. So hopefully that's a good spot for him. Hopefully that's a good fit for him. And then outside linebacker Miles Cole goes in the seventh round of the Jacksonville Jaguars. While it's nice to be drafted, he may have said to himself, God, I hope nobody's going to draft me because I've got this deal set up with Team X if I don't get drafted.
Okay.
That might have been a better fit for him. But I think the way that Dadrian Taylor Demerson performed this past year and for his career at Texas Tech, I think he's going to have a really good shot. He ranked third on the team with tackles, 73, had a team-high 4 interceptions. He finished up with 10, which ranks him 10th all-time in the Tech record book alongside Kevin Curtis. Okay. Miles Cole was here for a couple years, had 32 tackles, including 6.5 for a loss and 3.5 sacks. He had an impressive, according to this release, impressive numbers at the NFL Combine. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out for him. And then the undrafted free agents. And of these names, tell me which one you think is going to have the best chance to stick. Austin McNamara, punter, Cincinnati Bengals. Baylor Cup, tight end, Kansas City Chiefs. Now, keep in mind, the Chiefs did pick a tight end in the NFL draft in the fourth round. They picked the TCU guy up, Jared Willey. Xavier White, wide receiver, Indianapolis Colts. Rashad Williams, defensive back for the Las Vegas Raiders. And then Cole Spencer signed with the Tennessee Titans. And Tyler Owens signed with the Washington Commanders.
How many do I get to just one answer?
Oh, you can answer. You can give me a couple that you feel good about.
Okay, I feel good about the last three. Rashad Williams, I think, could be a decent cover corner in the NFL.
Okay.
So I think he's got a shot, plus you're at a position where they keep a few of those. Cole Spencer, I mean, offensive lineman. We've seen so many times before offensive linemen, they're just okay mm-hmm. at the college level, and then they turn into having nice careers at the NFL level. For whatever reason, the game just fits them better. And so Spencer's a guy I think has a shot. And then Tyler Owens, with his speed, I absolutely think he could be a useful special teams guy mm-hmm. and a guy that could do some damage in the defensive backfield as well. So those are the three guys that I think have the best shot.
Okay. And the one guy that you didn't mention that I thought you might mention right off the top was Austin McNamara.
No, the teams only keep one.
I understand, right. And so, and it may be for him that he gets exposure with the Bengals that leads him to somewhere else.
Maybe.
Or maybe
he beats a guy up.
Or he's a hamstring away or, you mm-hmm. know, things like that that kind of put you in that spot. So, did you have any... Any thoughts on the Cowboys? I'll give you a couple of thoughts. Tyler Guyton in the first round, the Cowboys traded down and picked him up. The offensive tackle from Oklahoma. That's who many had projected them to take. And when they drafted down, we talked about this some on Friday. It was like, okay, well, they picked up an extra third round pick, so they were trying to get some extra players, some depth, get them on the cheap because that's what you can do with the first year guys. As opposed to signing the free agents, which they didn't really have a whole lot of cash to be able to do that with.
Yeah, I like that the Cowboys went off after three different offensive linemen. Clearly, that was an area they felt like, hey, if there's good offensive line help there, we're going to take those guys. we've got to revamp that offensive line a little bit. You've lost some guys there. And so I thought that was a smart thing to do. Also, like taking a guy early on who's a pass rushing specialist. And so I just think those guys are really, really valuable. So I thought that they had a good draft.
Marshawn Nealon went in the second round to him, 56th overall. He's the defensive end from Western Michigan. 28 tackles for a loss. And that will help with some of the players that they lost in free agency that included Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler. And then they picked up a Big 12 player, Cooper Beebe, from Kansas State in the third round. So he's a guy that might compete for the center job right now. And the guys on the Cowboy Radio Network on Thursday night, I was listening here on Double T 97.3, they really wanted the Duke center, but Cowboys elected to trade down to get the extra pick in the third round, and as a result, passed on him and still able to get Tyler Guyton. So that was – and then they got a Notre Dame linebacker, and then pick up a cornerback from Wake Forest, and then it goes on down from there. So, the Cowboys were able to they had 8 picks, I believe, in the draft, and then, of course, they're going to sign some free agents as well. But it would seem like they were trying to stockpile some players to make up for some of the losses in free agency. I just don't know what that does for you in year one, when you're kind of trying to go all in, quote, with a coach that's got just this year left. Makes it kind of tough.
Yeah, I mean, every team needs to be able to draft guys that can come in and compete and either make the starting spot or the two deep. So let's hope a couple of these guys can make an impact for Dallas right away. Again, I think when you're talking about offensive linemen, we've seen plenty of offensive linemen be taken late and be able to come in as rookies mm-hmm. and make an impact. And so that's why I like that the Cowboys took some depth there with 3 offensive linemen.
And thanks to the texture, apparent Jared Wiley, the tight end from TCU. Okay, so we'll see if he can make an impact, for the Chiefs. We'll see. 7:25, Jamie's question of the day is next.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Jamie's question of the day on Double T 97.3 is brought to you by Kinetico of West Texas.
All right, gentlemen, my question for you today is we are a couple days removed from the NFL draft. Is I want you to look at the Red Raider football team, and I want you to tell me who do you think will be drafted the highest the next year for the Red Raiders?
Oh, man. The first words out of my mouth are going to be Taj Brooks. I think.
Taj Brooks, I think.
Taj Brooks, I think.
Okay.
I believe it'll be Taj Brooks.
I feel like he's the easy answer.
Okay.
Yeah. But the catch is he's a running back.
Right.
And NFL teams have figured out you can get a running back late. And he'll have all the time this year on those legs that may push him down further. But he's the best one I can think of that's draft eligible that I think will go.
Everybody's draft eligible.
What, like, of the Hudson White isn't draft eligible. He's not going anywhere. He's got to play a couple of years first.
Hudson White plays baseball
not
for
Hudson
Arkansas.
Not Hudson White.
Micah Hudson.
Micah Hudson, thank you.
He is draft eligible after this year. You can get drafted as a freshman, can't you, Chuck?
2 years.
No, I think it's I think you have to go 2 years, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Barron's going in the draft. Unless he has some phenomenal year. And even then, he may come back for another year. Like, I hate to just say Taj Brooks because I feel like it's a cop-out, but I don't have a better answer.
I'll be honest, I think that if Taj Brooks had gotten good reviews from people, he would be in the NFL
draft
this past year.
Absolutely.
So to think that he's going to get drafted high next year, I think is unlikely. Okay. Do I think he'll have a shot to be on an NFL roster? Absolutely, I do. I think, personally, I go with a guy like Josh Kelly. I think if he puts up anywhere close to the kind of numbers that he put up last year for Washington State, I think he has a chance to be, I'm not talking first round or anything like that, but could he be a third or fourth round pick or fifth round pick? Yeah, I think he could be in that mix. I don't see anybody that, I mean, I think we all think Micah Hudson after 2 years, if he's close to, I mean, he's a top 10 player in the country coming out of high school, you'd like to think that he would be, you know, a guy that could be a first, second, third rounder coming out of college. We'll have to wait and see on that, but there's just so many question marks there when he's never stepped on a college field before. But again, Josh Kelly, if he puts up the kind of numbers he did for Washington State, does it again here at Texas Tech, I think he'll be a guy that'll be drafted high.
We're a little off. It's 3 years for the NFL.
It's full three?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And surprisingly, shockingly, nobody sued to get it down to junior high yet.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. You would think with all the, you know, attorneys that we have out there that somebody would have kind of fought for those first-year guys coming out of high school going, hey, what? Yeah. I'm good enough to play right now. Why do I have to wait, man?
Yeah, I was totally confused on that. My bad.
I'm right there with you.
Difference between the sports, and I think I forgot about the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. But speaking about, you know, Josh Kelly, what you just said, 61 receptions last year for him. He had 923 yards and 8 touchdowns. So Speaks to what you're saying there. But it is a little concerning, right? It's a little concerning when you go, who's going to get drafted? And you're like, well, Taj Brooks, you know, and you're like, and Jeff points out greatly, the NFL doesn't think very highly of running backs being drafted very high.
Now, if you were to ask me this question a year ago, I don't know that I would have said Adrian Taylor Jamison would have been your first guy drafted this year. I don't know that I would have said he'd been a fourth round pick.
I would have said he was in the conversation.
Yeah, I think I would have too.
Yeah.
Who would you have said? Tyler Shuck?
That would have been the first answer, yeah.
Okay.
A year ago. But I mean, I think he might have been drafted. I don't know that he would have been your first one drafted at this point last year. Anything can happen in this year. All of that can change. You could have a bunch of offensive linemen really, really perform well and
shine. That's the hard part for me, right?
Yeah.
Offensive linemen. I can't gauge offensive linemen.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on the big nasties, right?
We're not scouts, you know. Yeah. We think we know what we're talking about. I mean, I believe really highly that you know what you're talking about with regard to college baseball and Texas Tech and the Big 12 specifically. I think you can dig down deep in the dirt and you really kind of you scrape the bottom of the earth with your knowledge. And I mean that with all due respect. I'm not.
But like with offensive linemen, it's just we know they're big, and it's hard to gauge one guy over the next guy. Mm-hmm. But you see a veteran guy like Caleb Rogers, and you would think maybe he would be in the mix next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who's played well for you?
Yeah, you would hope, but I mean you just don't. And then you know, what about our guy Mason Tharp? I mean, he's got that size, but I mean, can he stay healthy? Heck, can he stay healthy for you? When I met him the other day, he's a large man, Jamie. He's a large guy.
Did you need to meet him to figure that out?
No,
I mean, 6'9", 270.
I know,
on paper
when you look up at that, okay, and you go, yeah. Wow, that's a big dude, you know? That's a
Yeah. I also wonder a little bit about Jalen Conyers being an NFL tight end because he looks like he can really move well and do some things. So, I mean, that's another guy I wonder about. I wouldn't say I have the obsession that Chuck does with Mason Tharp, but I think I'm definitely really excited about Jalen Conyers, and he's really another. I mean, obviously he's done nothing for you, but I'm excited about him.
Obsession sounds strange.
Well,
it's also accurate.
Conyers is 6'4". He'd spent a year at Oklahoma and then went to Arizona State for three. So he's got the 1 year left. This is, I guess, his COVID year or redshirt injury year or something. I mean, they come up with all different kinds of reasons to have extra years. But, hey, he's going to be a Red Raider next year, so we'll root for him, right?
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hour three of three with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us today here on the Morning Drive. We take your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Visual Edge IT hotline is open as well. We come to you this morning from the First United Bank studio. Okay, a couple other notes on the Langford inside the park home run, Jamie. His home-to-home time was 15.18 seconds. It's the fifth fastest home-to-home sprint by a Ranger since StatCast started tracking in 2015. 15.18 seconds.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Third fastest of the year behind Ellie De La Cruz, who plays for the Reds, who is the team that they did that against. He did that against yesterday.
And that dude didn't really go.
The other thing that I, because I thought, okay, well, how rare is that? Because I thought, well, that's pretty rare, you know, getting your first home run as an inside the park home run. And I have a number for you. Since 1900, how many players have had their first home run being inside the park home run? You want to take a wild guess?
25.
No. Jeff?
You want to go higher or lower? I mean, 25 was a perfectly... 26 could be the number. Like, you gave no indication of if it was way too high or way too low there.
I just... 50. I said, wow.
247.
No. Higher.
500?
553.
That is shocking. How many of those since 1900?
Yeah, I was going to say... Well, he said that all those since 1900, but okay. I would imagine a lot of them were.
Okay, since 2000, okay, that's so over the last 24 years, he is just the 14th player to do it since 2000, okay? And he also is this, if you want a little bar trivia, he's also this. He's the first player in at least the last 30 years, so go back to 1984, or 94, go back to 1994, to have his first career hit be an infield single and his first career home run be an inside the park home run, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. How about that? That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Jamie, would you ever take a job with the Elias Sports Bureau? It seemed to me like that would be something that you would really enjoy doing.
I think I would.
You know, coming up with all those little tidbits, you know, and sending them off to Hanyaks like me.
So his 15.1 round trip, right? 15.1 seconds?
0.18, yeah.
0.18. Mm-hmm. That's roughly 3.8 seconds per base. From home to first, 3.8. And I don't know what his actual splits were.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
That's flying.
And then having to hit the bag, too.
Well, that's usually how it works, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's...
They don't let you skip one.
No, they don't.
You can't just stand at home plate and just jump on it. No. Call that an inside the park home run.
Right. Right. That's pretty wild. All right, so we have some tickets here for Texas Tech and UTRGV tomorrow. It'll be at 6 o'clock for our broadcast time here on Double T 97.3. Take your radio to the ball game. First pitch just after 6:30. And caller number two, if you need two, we'll give you two. If you need four, we'll give you four at 806-771-0973. So take what you need. You can't have three, okay? So if you take three...
I'm going to tell you to find a friend.
Find a friend and take four, or just hand one to somebody. Okay, and just help them out a little bit. Be a little man helping man here. Let's see. A couple things here from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. On going to Ireland... Is Commissioner Brett Yormark trying to open up a pipeline, as he has done with punters from Australia, for an emerald in the rough? Another dad joke there. This from Washed Up Guy. Travel is a great learning experience. Some of these guys may decide that world travel is something that they want to do in the future. Yeah, I guess so. I just hate it. I hate it for the K-State fans and the and the Iowa State fans. You can't spend the resources and put a crap matchup overseas. How would that promote the conference with Iowa State playing UTRGV? Would be a terrible look. Somebody else said, so we're farming it out. Yeah. Jamie responded on the text line, another great dad joke, very well played. That conversation was the highlight of my day so far.
Yeah, what's it called? Farmageddon or something?
Yeah, Farmageddon, yeah, right.
So
right.
They made the joke that they farmed it out.
Farmed it out, right.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, just the fact that that was the highlight of your day so far, I wondered if that could, if it can be topped.
Oh, it's possible. Yeah.
If it can be taught.
I don't know, though. It was pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably better than Choice's dad jokes he'll give us today.
Chuck, it's about money, money, money. Yes, I'm aware. We shall see. We shall see. We'll have Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock on the air tonight at 6 o'clock. This team is looking for its 30th win. Coach Tadlock is looking for his 450th. It's proving to be kind of hard.
It has nothing to do with 450 or 30. It has to do with them. They're not playing well.
I know. It's just, but it's proving to be kind of hard to get that over the hump there. It's just, you know, grasping at straws, Jamie. Sometimes it's salt and sometimes it's sugar, you know?
it's just...
Just doesn't.
It's overplayed.
Probably overplayed.
Yeah.
Probably overplayed. I don't know that I'm the only one.
I know. You read it on the chat line, so you wanted to join in.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I sat on the chat line. Yeah, but I just heard it a number of times this weekend, too. You know, just over the last week or so.
Syntex had a week where you didn't play good baseball.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's like, oh, the pressure of 450 for Tadlock. Oh, no. Man, I hope I throw a strike here.
Yeah.
I want Tadlock to get his 450th.
Yeah.
I don't really think that has anything to do with anything.
You're right. You're right. Somebody says this. Syntex Hank says this. Think how fast he'd be with flat bases. There you go.
He would not be faster, Chuck. I know. He would be slower.
He would be slower on that. Because
it would be difficult to hit the bag at first and push towards second.
Right. You're right.
But you were buying in.
No, I was thinking about he might slip on the flat base as he went by. So in the double T 97.3 100.7 inside the park home run challenge, who is first, second, and third, and then who brings up the rear? I'm just going to tell you, I am not fleet of foot by any stretch of the imagination. I would be the last. I don't even think I could beat Hacks right now. Although I don't know, I think I could beat Hacks. So I'd be second to last. Hacks would be last.
I just love how you don't think you're insulting Hacks and how insulted Hacks is right now. I love that.
Well,
I mean, who do I think would be the fastest?
Lucas or one of the kids would be. Ben, maybe.
Ben would be a good bet.
About Lucas, he's lightweight. He's
skinny and small. Brennan
probably got a little speed.
Brennan
bowl over anybody that was at first base.
Or would they bowl him over?
Well, I think he's pretty. He looks to be
as far as the hosts go of said eight four shows. So the eight hosts, really, there's only seven of them because one guy has to do two shows.
My guess, probably Snead. Probably Snead would be my guess. Don't you think?
No, but that's okay.
Do you think you could?
I think Choice.
You think Choice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to disagree with that too much.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.